Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just go wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Friday, this absolutely fantastic Friday, December 5th, 2025 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us on the line every Friday from 10 to 11 is Pastor Chatfield. He has a history lesson prepared for us, something to do with our history, something to do with our Constitution, our Bible. Always things that we were told as young people, you should never talk about. Don't talk about politics and don't talk about religion. Well, that's all we basically do, especially with Pastor Chatfield on Fridays. So good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Great. Personal political antagonisms. What the heck are you talking about?
I'm talking about, it's not just throughout our history. It's not that we just had disagreements. We've had things are personal. Things get personal. It's throughout human history. It is the way it is. When you read the Bible, you know, the Lord Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself, which is the, you know, the royal law of Scripture, James tells us. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, we're patriotic Americans. What we do for the cause. That's for it's not personal ambition. It's not for personal preference. We don't hate the people in the other party. We're just trying to do what's right. We have disagreements. I wish that were true. It's just not true. Hasn't been true. It's less true now than it's ever been, but it's always been true. That is the way it is. By the way, when you read the Bible, the only book of the Bible that ends absolutely positive is Revelation chapter 22. Nothing else ends completely positive besides that. In other words, everything, there's always controversy. There's always this, that, and the other. So I got a bunch of, I got 10, but I got more than that. I got 13. It got me thinking about this. And I remember the book by Truman, the biography about Truman that I read recently. And Truman and Eisenhower were, they were kind of allies during the end of the war. But then Truman took offense. I think maybe Eisenhower took offense. Truman took offense. And their animosities became very personal. So much so that when Eisenhower was elected in 1952, he really did kind of insult Harry Truman. Wouldn't you know how you have on the day of the inauguration, you come in, you have a tea with the president, and then they kind of show you around the White House and so on and so forth. Sure. Eisenhower wouldn't do it. Eisenhower just wouldn't do it. He had animus against Truman. And by the way, whenever you read a biography, I got to remind myself of this all the time. The biographers fall in love with the people they're writing about. Almost always.
Yes.
It's almost always. Boy, this guy was great. And so you read a biography and you think, wow, well, I really like Truman. It's because the biographer liked Truman.
Sure.
That's kind of the way it works.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
You just got to remind yourself of that. Nobody is perfect, and virtually everybody, but not everybody, but virtually everybody has got their own ambition, their own goals, their own things that they want to do. The best of presidents, the best of men, the best of preachers at least recognize that in their own selves. At least they recognize it, and they try to fight against it. John Adams was continually reminding himself of the ambition that he felt in his own heart, mind, and he struggled against it. He knew he was ambitious, and he was a good man, I think. Anyway, so we'll start listing some of these animosities.
Sounds good. Perfect spot for a break. We're going to take 3 minutes and 10 seconds. Word from our other sponsors. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Are you sick and tired of the same old political talking points with no real solutions? Inaction isn't leadership. It's time for new leadership in Michigan's 1st District. Someone with fresh perspectives, new ideas, and a willingness to listen to the people they serve. It's time for change. I'm Justin Michael, and I'm running for U.S. Congress to put Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula back on track. Let's bridge the divides together. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Hey Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Political antagonism, certain animosities and things over the years, and history is filled with them. You say it goes all the way back, many of them in the Bible, many of them in our political history. So go ahead, sir, and let's start firing away.
Okay. Let me give you a good example. Abraham Lincoln. When he took the presidency in 1861, he assembled a cabinet of rivals. There's Doris Kearns wrote a book about that. Her book was called Rivals. What was the book called that I read? A Team of Rivals. He assembled people that he knew they were trying. Some of them were at the convention trying to get the nomination, and then some of them did not like him. And Edward Stanton was one of those guys who really was, as Secretary of the War, continually insulted Lincoln. Lincoln took it because he knew there was a bigger issue here at stake, and he was able to rise above personal things and have a guy that was that he would need. And virtually everybody in his cabinet thought they could do a better job than he was doing. So they'd be at a meeting, and then all of a sudden, Abraham Lincoln would go tell some story from his past, either like Kentucky or Indiana or Illinois. He'd tell some story. Well, that reminds me of, and he'd start telling some story. Now, and you can almost see all these guys rolling their eyes. Who is this Western lawyer, this hick, to tell us all these ridiculous stories? But he always had a purpose behind it, and there was some brilliance behind it, and he knew that they thought he was a hick, and he didn't take himself so seriously that it bothered him so much that he would fire them over that. And by the end of his presidency, virtually the entire cabinet loved him, and the country loved him, because he knew he was doing the work of God, holding the country together. He didn't take everything so personally. And the best of politicians, and Lincoln was a politician, are able to do that. You don't take everything personally. Now, let's go way back to Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton, both from New York. Aaron Burr was a Republican. He was political allies with Jefferson. And Burr was a Federalist. In the election of 1800, Jefferson and Burr they weren't on the same ticket, but they were running for president together. And when the election came, because we didn't have it in the Constitution specified that you were voting on a ticket back in that day, that was later clarified by a constitutional amendment that you'd vote for a ticket, so-and-so for president, so-and-so for vice president. But when the Electoral College vote came, Aaron Burr would not relinquish. The Constitution was originally set up, whoever received the most votes became president, whoever received the second most votes became vice president. Anyway, Aaron Burr wouldn't relinquish. Finally, one of the Federalists, upon the advice of Hamilton, says, vote for Jefferson, because I do not trust Aaron Burr. And even though Hamilton and Jefferson were rivals and didn't like each other, but it didn't rise to the level of absolute hatred. And then Aaron Burr started to insult Hamilton, and insults went back and forth, and personal things. Alexander Hamilton admitted he wasn't faithful in his marriage. Eventually, they have a duel, and Aaron Burr, in a duel, he shoots Hamilton and kills him. These are two very smart individuals, but the personal animosity came to the point where they actually had a fight. Now, we could say the same thing about Jefferson and Adams. By 1800, the former friends were political rivals. Abigail, John Adams' wife, and John Adams, they couldn't believe what happened to Thomas Jefferson. He had gone so malicious, and he had written newspaper articles against them, but with a false name, and they didn't like each other at all. However, later, they are reconciled, and which is good. And they, there's a lot of letters going back and forth, and they renew their friendship. And by the sovereignty of God, they both die on July the 4th, 1836, exactly 50 years to the day when the Declaration of Independence was drafted. So they were kind of reconciled, but politics became personal. And then and there was some personal animosity, but that's a good ending to that one. A good ending to that one. Now, I mentioned this last week.
Was, I believe, 50 years, wasn't it 1826, I believe? 1776?
Yeah, what did I say?
50, 36, but that's okay. You're not good at math this morning, so that's fine.
Exactly. 1826, correct. 1826, not 36. All right.
Now, and so they on that point, they both died on the 4th of July, that same day. Do you know if history was it within hours of each other? Was it, you know, the same hour? Do we know anything about the time on that 4th of July, 1826?
If my memory serves me correctly, Jefferson dies first. Because the last words out of Adams' mouth were, Jefferson lives, or something like that. But later we find out that he had died a couple hours earlier. But that's a good feel-good story. Now we have all the letters back and forth that we can study and what they thought and kind of commentary. It was from Adams and Jefferson. One said, I think it was Adams, that said to Jefferson, well, upon this subject, we will have to agree to disagree. That's the first, to my knowledge, the first time somebody said, you know, that little phrase. It probably wasn't the first time, but sometimes you just got to agree to disagree.
Sure.
And you don't take it. In other words, this other person's got a different view of this, and you can, you don't have to hate them. You don't have to call them a moron, call them names, because they, you really don't have to do that. Okay?
Yeah, he doesn't see it your way. Right.
Right. Right. Let's go to the election of 1824, which between John Adams, John Quincy Adams, and Andrew Jackson. John Quincy Adams, in that campaign, he really was above board, but his supporters really hurled a lot of insults at Jackson, and Jackson threw a lot of insults back at John Quincy Adams, and they learned not to like each other, especially Jackson to John Quincy Adams. The election was so short, it was thrown so close, it was thrown into the House of Representatives, as the Constitution mandates, and Henry Clay, who also ran for president, threw his support behind John Quincy Adams, and so John Quincy Adams wins, and he chooses Henry Clay as the Secretary of State, and the supporters, Jackson and his supporters, say, corrupt bargain, a corrupt bargain, and Henry Clay, very important, never became president, very, very important political figure between, from between about 1810 until 1850, for 40 years. Very important. But Jackson really doesn't like Henry Clay. And Henry Clay really doesn't like Jackson. Henry Clay is really kind of the originator of the Whig Party. And basically, the only thing the Whigs had in common was they didn't like Jackson. And the Whigs really didn't like Jackson. They did. They almost hated him. They almost hated him. I hate to talk like that. Why do you don't have to hate people, you know? Christians, we, you know, I got my opinions. I'm not going to hate people, but hatred is part of the deal. It's part of the deal. Spring forward to 1856, where you have Charles Sumner, Preston Brooks. I mentioned this last week. I mean, the tensions were high before the Civil War, and Charles Sumner, who was a very pro anti-slavery abolitionist senator, really insulted Southerners and Preston Brooks' relative, and was kind of an arrogant person. Even though he was an abolitionist, didn't hate slavery, but he's arrogant. Preston Brooks takes a cane, walks into the Senate, and basically beats Charles Sumner to within an inch of his life, because he and the South rose up and says, yay, we got somebody standing for good and right. And then the North said, what is the matter with these Southerners that they would come into the United States, the floor of the Senate, and basically almost kill somebody? Wow. I mean, that's animosity to the extreme.
Yeah, taking it to a high level there. And right. was he ever prosecuted for that attack?
No, never prosecuted. There's no way you could do that. That was one of the factors, one of the events that precipitated the Civil War. Okay, and by the way, everybody knows this. I would not have known this 15 years ago. You'd think I would know because it's. But I didn't. Many times the animosities are within the party. It's not just Republicans versus Democrats. It's Democrats versus Democrats and Republicans versus Republicans. You know, the primary processes or the nomination processes. Whoa, you know, as all of our listeners know, when there's a hotly contested primary, the first mailers that you get are maybe the first ones are positive, but what does the opponent do, Randy, to the person he's running against? What you always come out with? What kind of attacks, positive or negative?
Well, it depends on what type of campaign you want to run, but most of the time it's always negative. Surrogates or somebody else do it, but the bottom line, there's always going to be attacks.
Exactly right. That's the way it is. By the way, during the days of Jefferson and Adams, Jefferson knew that. He would never come out and say something terrible about Adams, but he would write it and put somebody else's name on it, or he would get one of his Democratic Republican newspaper editors to write it. That's how they did it back then. So the people running wanted to look like they were above the fray. In reality, they weren't. But, you know, and by the way, let me give you a good example. Remember when some lady stood up and said at a town hall meeting with John McCain, he says, why is Barack Obama, I mean, he's not even born in the United States. Why is he even doing this? He doesn't love our country. He wasn't born here. And John McCain says, well, ma'am, no, don't go there. Barack Obama loves our country. He was born in the United States. We have differences of opinion, but don't say that. What happened to John McCain in the 2008 election? Anybody remember?
Yeah.
No, in the general election.
General
Obama.
Oh,
who
yeah,
won?
The original. He got his butt kicked.
Yeah, that's the way it works. You say, well, yeah, but he took the high road. Okay, let's see what taking the high road gets you.
Yeah.
He did take the high road.
Yep.
But you lost. I mean, people want to win. Now, it depends how badly you want to win. Badly enough that you would slander somebody? Or say something that you might be true, but you have no—you're not sure it's true. But you just say it. I see so much of that in intra-party squabbles. I read things. You know, this person, and sometimes I know that they're wrong, but they come out and say it because it gives them political points. Someday I may tell you about that, but not. We'll see. Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. I don't like that.
Right.
I don't have to go out there. Let me tell you something in politics. I'm talking about between Republicans and Republicans, Democrats and Democrats. In politics, you don't have friends, you have allies. In other words, it's rare that two political figures who are both ambitious and striving to get a higher office are truly friends. It's not rare that they're allies. They help each other where they can help each other. But true friends doesn't happen too often. I'll be your